On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor for the episode. Today's sponsor is Pivot Culinary. If you'd like to learn more on what Pivot Culinary has to offer, you can check them out on Instagram at Pivot, P-I-V-O-T, Culinary. Thank you again to Pivot Culinary for being our sponsor. And with that being said, let's get into the episode.
All right, everybody, today's episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'll have the guys introduce themselves and then we'll get going. So we'll go John first, Casey second, Henry last. Just name, org, position in the org, and then we'll get it going, guys.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for the invite here. John Gentile, Minnesota Twins, AA strength coach last year. We'll be transitioning to a new role with them this coming season.
What's up, guys? My name is Casey Callison with the Toronto Blue Jays, and last year I was with our AA affiliate, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
I'm Henry Alec. I'm with the Los Angeles Angels, and this past year I was with the Rocket City AA Trash Pandas team.
Classic minor league name. Yeah. Guys, the theme of the episode today is going to be being strength coach of the year in your respective AA leagues. I've done a few of these group ones, individual, and every time, you know, we talk about it, it's voted on by your peers. And for me, I think that means a lot that your peers, you know, they recognize what you're doing. And for me, I want the listeners to be able to hear you guys as well. So first and foremost, congrats on the award. But let's just kick it off. Like, what was your journey to the current position you're in? And then how did your previous stops help you along the way to prepare for this year? And I think we can just go in the same order that we did for intros there.
Well, this past season was my seventh year in pro ball. Twins were my third organization. I was with the Tigers, the Rockies, and now the Twins. And just along the way is just kind of getting to know people, building connections, and just building those relationships. As a previous winner of this award back in 2012, 2013, it was just a lot of it had to do with the facilities that you have, being open-minded to what the other coaches need and availability of the weight room and any sort of equipment that they may need at that point in time. But yeah, I mean, this year was just kind of carry on like my years past, was just treat everybody with respect, let everybody kind of have open availability when they needed to have it. I mean, with the COVID rules kind of still in place a little bit, we had to kind of juggle that, but some of the other coaches needed weight room at BP times or during the game. So we're kind of really open-minded with letting them use it during those timestamps.
Nice. For me, what really kind of helped me this year, just honestly, it's my fifth year with the Blue Jays, just completed that. So just being within the organization, knowing the people, it's the only team that I've been with in pro ball. So I've been with the same team my whole time here. A lot of college, a lot of private sector prior to that. But honestly, just being available, kind of similar to what John was saying. I do find too, though, is just like genuinely like caring about what the guys had, like getting to know the guys and listening to all their needs that they had as well too. That really helped a lot of it. And then too, just a lot of the staff members that we have in the Blue Jays organization, we do a lot of shop talks and there's a lot of like self-growth within the organization. So that's honestly been huge.
So this is my second full year with the Angels. I was hired in 2020 and obviously that season didn't happen. So my technically my third full season in pro ball, kind of again, my background too, I was, you know, some graduate work and internships at the college level. And then within the private sector before coming back into pro ball in 2020. So kind of what led me here is my first year in AA. Definitely a different animal in terms of just the type of player you have, like prospect type of player, or just in general, a lot more eyes. I think this season, really one of the biggest things that kind of just helped us be successful and kind of helped myself stay organized was just being one step ahead the whole time, you know. And they think we all know as strength coaches with it, it's like staying a step ahead and knowing, you know, you got plan A and plan B and plan C. And, you know, I think that to me, that was my biggest thing this season. And like, you know, we talked about, Casey talked about, it's good communication with players and staff and maintaining that relationship throughout the season.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's good to hear that. It's kind of a good mix in this group, right? Of John's been around, been in a few different orgs. Henry, you got a couple of years with the COVID year. Casey, you got one org. So it's just like a good little mix here of just different opinions and different guys all having success. Do you have any advice for just finding success and then maybe specifically at the AA affiliate? You mentioned, Henry, just it's a different beast in AA, man. The baseball gets different once you get to AA. So do you guys have any advice for finding success?
I would say just staying buttoned up, making sure you have all your ducks in a row when it comes each day. Obviously, each day is a new journey with schedule and potential rain and weather. But as long as you're prepared for the worst, you'll be ready for the outcome of what you're looking for.
Yeah, I'd say for what I feel like has really helped me throughout the years is honestly just knowing your strengths and your weaknesses. And, you know, maybe there's certain people within the organization or outside the organization that's just like within your life that would be able to help you with some of your weaknesses. And same thing too, maybe you have a strength that other people can really leverage. And that's something that honestly could be really valuable at the affiliate life. So just having an idea what those are and maybe even to the time commitments on those, right? It's like maybe you're a guy that's really good with the programming side of things. So you know that's going to be a breeze for you. So you know you got to dedicate more of your time towards maybe it's analytics or something of that nature, but just having an idea what those are, I feel like that can be really, really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more on that. I think, you know, finding your strengths and weaknesses, I think is huge, especially in season, you know, trying to better yourself in that sense. But me, I think something that I would give kind of advice to is this past season was learning to help kind of control the chaos. So again, the same thing, we have rainouts, delays, schedule changes, and it's the same idea. It's having alternatives and plan A's and plan B's. And like I said, staying ahead. So that was my big thing, is trying to control chaos when you can, from the food orders to the player workouts.
Yeah, the minor leagues is essentially just controlled chaos. Just with everything that you have to balance with nutrition and sports science. And we were lucky this year that we added an assistant at each affiliate. So it helped our full-time guys kind of balance some of that workload. But even just coming through the system and over the years, I think more and more is getting put on the plate of the strength coach and more is expected of them. And really it's time management. And like you guys said, just controlling that chaos. And then as soon as you think you have your ducks in a row and you have a plan, the caterer calls and is like, oh yeah, we can't deliver food today. And all right, let's try to figure something out. So, do you guys have any other keys other than just the ones that you just mentioned on being successful and maybe balancing work life outside of work, or specifically just like you guys mentioned, controlling the chaos? Like, let's dig in a little bit more on how you're just going about your day to day and making the most of your job at your affiliate.
I mean, the typical day would just start off with the normal lifts at like 1:30, and then all the, so just going in there prepared, making sure the supplements are all set up for the guys, their folders are ready, weight room's buttoned up. From if the previous strength coaches for the visiting team were in there and left some stuff behind, and then just the schedule just falls into place with pitcher stretch, then position player stretch, some speed development stuff in between. And then just try to find time to talk to the family, being an hour away. So just dedicating time to that when I know there's a little bit of downtime, and then pregame stretch and then ready to go. And during the game, that's most of the time where I'll talk with the wife and kids. And then as they go to bed, go out, watch the tail end of the game. And then hopefully the postgame food shows up on time. So it's kind of like a typical day. Most of our games were at 7:05, and then just the weekends were a little time change. So we had pretty consistent schedule at home.
Yeah, I'd say building off of some of the stuff we're talking about, but even kind of like instead of looking at the day-to-day, but also looking at the series that you're going to have. So maybe you're at home or maybe you're away. But even within that, it's just kind of knowing what your week is going to look like and to kind of know where like your like pink drainers are and an area where you can recharge. And what I mean by that is last year I found that I was just going like constantly. And next thing you know, like I'd be finishing some lifts with guys, being really flexible, working on player goals, things of that nature, talking to staff members. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, I got to be out to the line in like 5 minutes. So I think that's something too. We talk about the planning aspect a lot, but make sure you're giving yourself time throughout the day. So that way you can recharge and kind of like wrap your head around maybe what's already gone on. And same thing, once you're getting deeper into the week, again, maybe you're taking guys in early for lifts, whether it's at a commercial gym or the facility that the visiting team may have for you. But just make sure you give yourself some time to recharge, because otherwise it's like you get to the end of the week and you're like, man, like what even happened? And when you're doing that for the entire season, that can really take a toll on you. So just being cognizant of that, that'll be huge for making sure that you're in a good spot the whole year and feeling as fresh as you can.
Yeah, I was honestly going to comment the same thing. You know, obviously we pretty much have typical days all around. You know, every organization, every team's going to have a typical schedule pregame. Something that kind of, to me, like you mentioned there, Casey, is about maintaining that kind of organized, being organized for the week. You know, we're lucky enough now that it's this, think about it, it's a six-game series now. So we're, you kind of know who you're pitching that week. You kind of know your schedule in a sense. And so having that organized and ready, you know, a week ahead and then being able to game plan off of that, that I think has been one of the biggest lifesavers for me for sure. You know, something to comment on too. My biggest thing is trying to come in and just have fun with it every single day. Cause that's like you're saying, it's a grind and you're trying to find time to talk to your family. And for me, my past season, I had my pregnant wife at home. So that was definitely like, you know, you have to just try and have fun though, cause there's going to be lulls in the day and guys are down that just mess around and try and have as much fun. I say it every time, but like, we get to wear shorts and a t-shirt, and like, should be no reason not to smile every day you walk in the clubhouse.
Yeah. To elaborate on that is just making sure that you have your days planned, but also like Casey said, like planning your weeks and have an idea of what you're going to look for. And that way you can give yourself some sort of reprieve throughout the day or the week. Even if it's at home or on the road, that would be like the biggest aspect I would say through my time. In my years of experience, is give yourself some time or you get burnt out quickly. It's a long season, and if you're burnt out in May, you got to grind ahead of you.
Well, no thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Like, very valid point. And I think sometimes we have to have like a shift of perspective, right? Like we get lost in like the day-to-day, and I think the one thing I want to talk about after this is like the minor league schedule and if that day off every week helped you. But, you know, for us, I've said it before, but we had like 16 games in a row, like four different times this year. And sometimes you get deep into that, you're 8-9 games in and, you know, you've lost a bunch of them and the team's not playing great and the morale is not great in the clubhouse. And like, it really drains on you as well. And you're not even playing, you know what I mean? Like, I feel the effects of the game every day, just because it wears on the guys, and we spend so much time with the guys that like, sometimes you have to take a step back. And like Henry was saying, like, you just have to smile and like, hey, at the end of the day, like we're watching a ball game, we're working with pro baseball players. Like, these are the elite of the elite. Like, and then that shift in perspective helps you get through those tough stretches. But that's one of the things I wanted to ask you guys, having been in the minor leagues a little bit now, like, do you guys feel you were able to have a better like work-life balance and like family time with that day off each week? Or was it more similar to the past than what people would think?
I think that having the off day every Monday is very valuable. I mean, for our schedule, we traveled a lot on Mondays because we had a lot of long road trips, but just having that downtime and that time on the bus, even though you still get some work done, you could talk to your friends and family. You can just kind of relax on the bus, or if you're at home, you just go do whatever you want to do. So I would definitely say it's a quite a benefit to have from years past, from the previous schedule.
Yeah, I agree with John with everything that he said, and then even from like a player side too. But that was something that I know a lot of our staff members tried to get the guys to really understand is, hey, this is your day to, you know, recover, get in whatever you need. There may have been certain guys that needed something on that day. Like, let's say if we were home, we just got back from a road series. If a guy needed treatment or if he needed something, okay, a little bit flexible, but we still tried to work with the guys and let them know that, again, it's a long season. Take this time to just kind of, again, like rebalance yourself, get yourself ready. Maybe you didn't have a great series or past couple games, whatever, but use it as a time to reflect because you're not going to have a game today. So you don't have to be critical of yourself. So yeah, it was huge. And a lot of the players felt that it was beneficial as well too for us.
Yeah, I agree from a player standpoint. You know, I would go in on Mondays and get my own workout in. So for me, it was something that I kind of opened it up to guys, and the ones who took advantage of it took advantage. And some dudes just needed to be home and get out of the field and be away from the clubhouse. And so that, to me, I thought that was a huge positive. It's that feeling, like you're saying, there's no stress of the whole day. It's just a relaxed day. And the guys who wanted to get a workout in, it worked and it set them up for the week. And, you know, they've kind of find a routine with that. Personally, I think the off day was incredible. As you get a chance to, like, you know, go to dinner, drink a beer, enjoy yourself a little bit. And so I think that was always a day you just got a chance to recharge, you know, even if you were at the clubhouse for the field for an hour or two, but you just got to recharge and not have to be on the road constantly.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to discuss because some guys feel like they feel better when they come in and move around on that off day. And then some guys have no desire to come to the field. Like, they're like, all right, I'm out. I'll see you guys. I'll see you in a couple of days. And even here, like I said, we played, you know, 16, 17 in a row. We come back from the West Coast. We have a long trip home. And it's like that off day is a Monday. And there's a couple of guys that are like, hey, can I come in and move around? And it's like, yeah, it's a super relaxed and, you know, you're just available to those guys. But like you guys said, you have some time for your family or some time for dinner. And in, the one thing is, like Casey, you brought it up, is like getting players to understand the value of that off day. And I think when you have it every week in the minor leagues, it's kind of nice to teach them like, hey, this is a chance to recharge. Like when you move up to the big league, sometimes you don't get these. So when you do, you really have to value those and understand like, how do you make the most out of your off day? And again, some guys, it is just coming in, moving around and, you know, just a couple hours at the field just for some peace of mind. And some guys, it's just being away. So I think to your point, Casey, that's a valid, like teaching them the importance of that day instead of just, oh, it's just a day we don't play on the schedule. Like understand how you can maximize that to have a good series after that, I think is a really valid point. So is there anything that you guys think you could have done better or differently looking back on the season? I mean, obviously you guys had a great season. You're successful. You won the award, but is there anything that you look back on? You're like, I could have done that differently or better.
I'll go first on this. So, I mean, I think every season we probably look back and, you know, just my, again, third full season, I look back and go like, yeah, I would have changed a lot of stuff. Just little things here and there. But there's something this season I think I was at least more aware of, and I wish I'd done an even better job. But those lull moments in the year where kind of that effort and a little bit of that attitude is kind of down, you know, whether it's right before All-Star break or kind of near that August standpoint where it's hits every team, in my opinion, and it may not hit every guy, but there's kind of that lull feeling. Just reading into that better and kind of trying to get guys to stay focused, keep a good attitude. And, you know, even though you might be in a bad mood, but being able to complete your work with focus and high energy and, you know, still maintaining the effort you want to put in every day. So yeah, that's something, you know, looking back on those moments, wanting to make kind of push those moments better. So we don't hit those lulls. That's something I've always thought about that I'll look back on and want to switch.
I think something for myself, and that's a good point, Henry. I agree on that. Sometimes those can be like a little bit of like tough situations. But I'd say for myself is probably just asking more questions of like everybody. So whether it's the players and getting to understand them with their routines more, seeing how you can help with that, but also too, like, you know, we kind of specialize in strength and conditioning, but there's still so much out there from a hitting, a defensive, from a pitching standpoint. I think that's something that I know I can always do better of just developing better questions to be able to ask. because there's so much out there from their side, and we're doing a good job. We have pretty good staff integration with that, but I just feel like that's something I can always get better at, is just further understand more of the intricacies of baseball when it comes to developing guys at the sport specific side, rather than just, you know, in the weight room with some of our principals.
Yeah, I would say there's times in the year where time management would kind of needs improvement, but probably collaborating a little bit more with the sports science side on our end. We were fairly new to the force plates with the Twins organization, so divulging more into the biomechanics aspect of what the biomechanists are doing on our end, and providing a little bit more feedback. We have a lot of technology here and it's all working very well, but if us as a staff could figure out a little bit more of like what we need to work on with certain players and certain movements, I think it's gearing more towards that aspect, but just asking more questions throughout the season to our biomechanists and like their sports scientists or sports science department, and like, what do you see in this player based off of his jump profile and stuff like that? Where can we modify his program and stuff like that? I feel like we could have done a better job throughout the season doing that, or myself asking questions. But yeah, I would say time management and just communicating a little bit more with the sports science department would be beneficial for myself.
I felt like just going off of that in the, just talking to the strength coaches in our leagues, the Southern League, it kind of felt like a lot of the guys had that same feel where it was like, you know, they have this tech coming in, we're starting to utilize it and starting to talk to the hitting department, starting to talk to the pitching department more about how that's being integrated in terms of what we're finding, what they're finding. And so, you know, it seems like that's something, especially it's happening all around where you're, at least I'm noticing it, where guys are, you know, things starting to, more tech starting to come in and questions are being asked. And we need to for sure stay on top of that too, by asking questions to our sport coaches and staying, you know, within that.
Yeah, we use our, we collaborate a lot with our pitching and hitting side. We have bi-monthly think tanks with the departments to go over like top prospects and kind of see like what their needs are and how we can better service them in their programs or movement prep and speed development, and how we can better get things done on their end. So we have a pretty good integration with those departments. It's, I would say the sports science department would be something that we would need to integrate a little bit more in. But like you said, the tech is evolving, seems like yearly, on what's going on. It seems like some new organization has this tech and then everyone wants to hop up on that new toy. So
yeah, and as more gets put on the strength coach's plate, it sometimes it feels like a piece of tech is just thrown at you and it's like, all right, figure out how to use this with your players. And it's like, I don't even know what that is. Let me dig into that. So it's a real concern. I know, Henry, you had said the other coaches in your league, but I would guess that most strength coaches in professional baseball feel that way, right? Like there's a lot of tech coming in. There's a lot of push for collaboration. And to be honest, it's a double-edged sword in the sense that people are coming to us, which is good because we're supposed to be well-versed in movement and all of that stuff. But on the other side, like, the more that we put emphasis on certain things like that, the less we have like the ability to just do the strength and conditioning too, right? Like there's only so much time in a day to get everything accomplished. And if everybody in the clubhouse is coming to us, like it's good. And I think a lot of us are just naturally like trying to be problem solvers. But the problem is like you run into just too much or not enough time, right? So like finding that balance is probably a good thing. And it's something that as strength coaches, like sometimes we have to like take a step back and not be afraid to ask somebody else for help, and not be afraid to like collaborate and like, hey, if I go to John, like, hey, how are you guys using the force plates? Do you think this is more efficient? This, like, I think it only helps all of us get better. And sometimes people are a little bit hesitant for that, but I think that's the way the game's going. And like, if we're going to continue to progress strength and conditioning, like we're going to have to be well-versed in a lot of things instead of just only being good at strength and conditioning. And those, the collaboration and the communication is super important. So kind of along those lines, like what are you guys working on this offseason just to prepare for next year? Just either goals that you have for next year or continuing ed you're trying to dive into this winter. Just what are you doing so that you can defend your title next year, so to speak?
I can go first on that one. I know a big thing that I'm very interested in is like just player workload. So again, ties into all the technology and whatnot, but I really find a lot of value in just being able to figure out, are we utilizing our time and energy as effectively as we can, or maybe overutilizing it, underutilizing it. So just concepts around there. And that just from things on reflecting back and what we did this year, reading other articles, just listening to whether it's again, podcasts or videos, but that's something I really want to dive into. And then other things, not entirely S&C related, but I would just say like, I have other interests in like areas of like, let's say like history, personal finance, just things outside of our realm too, to understand maybe it's a different, again, like industry, but then see if there's things from outside of our area that again, you can kind of bring it in. I really like the idea of not necessarily keeping myself in like a tunnel vision and only reading things within our field. So that's kind of my thought process there, is kind of go out there, see other areas and just see like what concepts, principles are there that maybe do have some type of correlation in what we're doing that would perhaps shed some light on just workload management or a way to track it better. So.
Yeah, I personal kind of goals this off season. I have a newborn at the house, so perfecting, you know, everything movement wise, right? Teaching squat form and sled drag, sled pushes. So no, that's pretty much my off season now. So it's for me trying to find a way, you know, being home to continue on continuing education work. You know, pretty much I'll always try and hit at least a NSCA conference at some point throughout a year. When I was living in Texas, we had our Texas State Clinic at TCU where I was, you know, every year. So it was easy for me to do that. But now it's, you know, being home with the kid will be harder to get out. You know, something I've done too, and I've thought about this past year, but wanting to reach out to kind of old professors I've had or just people within the education side, kind of even just topics that they're teaching now, like simple topics that they're trying to educate on in, you know, master's programs or even undergrad, and just listening to that, you know, whether there's articles they'd recommend or people to listen to, certain speakers to listen to about topics or to reach out to and talk to. So for me, that's kind of just a little proactive, trying to kind of gather the information in the off season the best I can to educate.
This off season is kind of transitioning to a new role with the Twins. So I'm transitioning from AA strength coach that was Wichita to the rehab coach down at the complex. So I'll be in Fort Myers for the entire year. So kind of getting to understand what that new role is going to be starting in January. Just divulge into some just rehab techniques and understand the PT field a little bit more, get to know that staff a little bit better. The Twins we all collaborate as an individual and a director as what our Con Ed plan is going to be for the whole year. So we already have that all mapped out. So with some courses and some books. So a lot of it, what I have left is the Jocko Willink Dichotomy of Leadership. So that's going to be a good one for me to read. A lot of that, I mean, I'm a huge Jocko fan. I don't know how that one bypassed my library, but that's going to be tackled over the next few months. And I kind of tackled a lot of the off-season stuff early on in the season. So I took the FRA course back in June. That was fantastic. And I think that's going to help me adapt to the new role that the Twins are appointing me to. So a lot, just time with family. And with the newborn, they already have good form. They already know how to squat. They already can get everything down. So they're already set. It's keeping it. I have two at home, a 5 and a 2-year-old. So it gets worse as they sit and are doing nothing all day.
Oh, yeah. I can't figure him out. I mean, he'll just cry because, you know, I turned left as opposed to right. So he's upset with me now. Hey, I was going to ask you, is this going to be your first role, like not an affiliate, John?
Yeah, this will be my first role, not an affiliate. Gotcha. So I get to be closer to home and kind of have a new test ahead of me, so no more buses.
Good for you. Henry, your job as dad is to not screw your child up.
That's perfect. Oddly enough, the first beer I drank coming home, you know, you gotta celebrate it, whatever the specific brewery it was, but the beer was "Don't F it up." I was like, oh, okay, that's suiting. Yeah, that's fitting.
They knew. Guys, before we close this one down, is there any last words that you have, either just anything that we missed in terms of advice or success, or just anything that you wanna have the listeners know before we shut it down?
I'll just say, just stay focused throughout the year. Like, prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance. So if you just stay focused and have a plan for the year, execute the plan, be communicative with your staff, with your ATs, with your directors, coordinators, other visiting coaches. Just be polite, treat everybody with respect, and you'll go a long way.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's perfect.
Good. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time. Congrats again on the awards. Enjoy your off seasons and your family, and we'll be talking soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your time.
Awesome. Pleasure meeting you guys.
Nice meeting you.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude our episode with John, Henry, and Casey. I hope you enjoyed this one. Again, success leaves clues. And so for me, these interviews need to be had so that we can learn from these guys. They're being successful at their affiliates. And it's good to just hear what they're doing and hear their thoughts. And hopefully you were able to take a bunch of notes from this one. Three things that I took from the guys in this episode: try to stay ahead, but have additional plans to make adjusting easier. Find ways to make your off days more beneficial to you, and developing better questions will help you to maximize conversations with those from other departments. Before we shut this one down, I just want to give one more shout out to our sponsor, Pivot Culinary. Thank you to them for sponsoring the episode, and make sure to give them a follow on Instagram. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.